Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Adequate notice of this meeting, November 25th, 2019, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 7th, 2019, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Here.
Mr. Dermody is absent. Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mr. Vroman?
Here.
Mayor Malkin?
Here. Okay, I just texted just to see if he's coming or whatever.
So we do have to make a motion to amend.
You want to do that first?
Yeah, we might as well.
Okay.
So
all right. We need a motion to amend the agenda to add Resolution 19-118, expressing continuing support for the ongoing efforts of the Sustainable Jersey Creative Team. Would someone like to make that motion?
I do.
Second?
Second, Matt.
Roll call.
Okay. Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
Okay, so that will be added under 118, after
117. Right. Okay. No, we can explain it then or talk about it then. Okay. A couple things I wanted to bring up. We've gotten reports from some of the residents have called that there's hunters. It's bow and arrow season, and there have been hunters walking around town, both on the street and through people's yards. So I called the state police and asked them to step up patrols, if they could send a car through town here and there during the day. I think generally the state police, when they come into town, it's usually very late at night. But they will. They said they will come during the day, be on the lookout for the next few weeks. But they also advise that if anyone sees a hunter on their property or on Green Acres or here or on the street walking around with the bow and arrow, to please call them immediately.
And don't confront them.
No.
No, seriously.
Now, where could they be hunting? Because maybe they're just... If the deer runs to here, can they come in to pick it up?
No.
They actually come in and park on the streets here and try to herd the deer outside of the hunting zone.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
We do have a hunting map in there. Maybe I can get it reproduced so we should all have one and put a few on the counter there.
Then maybe we could put them on telephone poles.
That
I think the hunters will really read them, but...
So I also called, when Nancy was here, I think you were here then, I called Lisa Quadreau, captain of the Assunpink Police, and explained it to her.
Mm-hmm.
She explained that from a dwelling 450 feet out is hunting zone.
For guns, though, right?
That's for guns, and for bows and arrows, it's only 150 feet from a dwelling.
Yeah.
So we should all realize that. And she said there's nothing we can do about chasing them off our streets or anything like that. But I asked her if she could send the guys over, because they're all over the place now.
Yeah.
It's
the police
season.
Said
it's
as soon as you
season.
See them, call the police. They'll come in and...
Okay, so that would be the thing, the state police. And... before we leave, I'll see if we can reproduce a couple of the maps in there.
Okay.
So we should all have it. It should actually be in the press or something.
Maybe,
In the bulletin.
Also, I wanted to say that you'll see on the agenda that we are appointing a deputy tax collector. Our tax collector, Sam Canizzaro, took an unexpected leave of absence, so we hired a couple of people in the interim to take over his position until he can return to work.
Mayor, we're not hiring the deputy tax collector. We have it on the ordinance to establish the position.
The position, right. We will.
12-9.
Right, and then we will hire them. And So the other thing I wanted to say is that I think we're so lucky in town because we just have an exemplary staff. Between, I couldn't do my job without Kathleen. Anna, everyone knows what Anna is, and Lori and Kim and our Public Works Department. But I did want to say, with everything we've been going through lately, as far as the having to find people to do our water sewer billing, regular tax billing, or the tax sale, Anna has been amazing. She has stayed late many, many days, really late here. And she took the lead in, you know, training, not necessarily training, but, you know, guiding the people through what they have to do now. And she never complains. Today, again, she was here very late. She stayed late on a Friday. She also stayed late the day before the Benjamin Brown exhibit because she was helping with that. And I just think we should give her a special thank you because she goes so above and beyond what, I mean, she does that every day, but particularly lately, she's just real.
And you don't have to ask her most of the time. She volunteers.
Right. So I just really wanted to a special thank you because she has worked very late, many, many days in the last few weeks.
And she answers the telephone and quiets down all of the people who are freaking out about anything in town. She tends to bring the temperature of that down by a great degree. She's really, you know.
Yeah, we're lucky to have the staff we do.
It's a very huge asset for us.
Yes, absolutely.
And the last thing I was going to bring up was just, I was going to wait till the end because it's kind of lighthearted, but it's, so, you know, we've had goats on the loose in town.
What's with the goats here?
Which I have to say, this council's also amazing because that was like the funniest thread I've ever read. There was just text after text after text with the entire council making goat observations and goat jokes. But it isn't that funny because there's two really large goats on the loose that wildlife.
Locally owned.
Locally owned, is that what you said? Yeah. I don't think from Roosevelt. I think someone.
No, it's Dermody's.
It's about Dermody's.
Dermody's goats.
They're Dermody's goats. Well, they don't live next door to me.
And you don't know their goats?
You didn't know that.
They're quiet.
No, they live all around. They don't live next door to you.
They're just cutting everybody's grass.
They're like the
they really are Bob Dermody's?
That's what we were told.
I thought Bob Dermody was just going to help because he has a farm in Pennington and he has a lot of familiarity with farm animals.
I don't know.
Huh? Yeah. They eat a lot of like ground ivy and like.
Oh, I know.
Like
I actually think
I could.
I actually think it's a nice thing that they're here, but everyone's worried about causing a car accident because they keep running back and forth between Rochdale
and
here.
We need a goat guard.
By now.
A goat herder.
Oh, you can't imagine the jokes that went on with this goat thing.
But
anyway, but they are. And
they're still loose?
Yes, and Nancy Ralph tried to corral them into her yard.
There's a picture of them across the street here.
And they would have been on the roof. Right.
They would have been up there.
They
climbed.
Well, they used to live. When they lived, Diana Mueller had them, and they lived on her roof before I moved to town, but everyone talked about
for
it.
For Christmas, I got my goats on tree, goats and trees going.
But they've mostly been staying behind Sheila Jaeger's house across the street napping or at the factory on that large loading dock. But if you also see them, please call.
Take a picture. Send it.
Or call. Ask
Joe's people. Going to make a documentary, Goats Gone Wild.
Who said, did you say, Steve, we need the goat vote? We're going to elect them to the council. I think we should put them on the council. And Steve said, yeah, we'll get the goat vote. But anyway.
You should call Anna if there's a goat problem. Right. And this will just add to her.
Right. Don't tell her jokes.
So, anyway, if you do see the goat, please, and it's during the day, then please try either call Asim Pink again, or I'm not even sure who else to call.
And
call but
yeah, they don't want to hear about it. That's
no,
they're not wild animals.
Anna during the day, and she'll contact animal control.
Jan.
Yeah, Bilic, something like that. Okay, back to so we come to public comment at 7:19 p.m. Is there anyone from the public that would like to say anything on the agenda? Now the agenda. We close public comment at 7:19. We come to approval of minutes. I have a motion.
Make a motion to approve the October 28th regular council meeting minutes.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Grauman?
Yes.
And how about, do I have a motion for approval of the minutes from November 12th, 2019?
I'll move that.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Abstain. I wasn't present.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Grauman?
Yes. I was here for that one, right?
It was only this side of the room.
Was it only this side?
Yeah.
Then I'll abstain.
Yeah, I don't think you were here. You were out. Mike was out. Mike was out. And
this side of the room was out.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Abstain.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Chilly visual.
Okay. Minutes passed.
Yep.
Right, correspondence. First, we have certification from the Monmouth County Board of County Canvassers, dated November 13th, 2019, for the general election held on November 5th, 2019. So at the last meeting, I congratulated everyone who won, but I'll repeat it since many of you weren't here. So it certified the election results in which Councilman Hamilton was reelected, Councilman Roman was reelected, and
Dermody.
Councilman Dermody was reelected.
And
I was reelected. Do you want me to think I should read this?
For the term, sure.
Okay. This is Roosevelt Borough. The said board determines that the said election, Peggy Malkin was duly elected as mayor full term, and Michael B. Hamilton and Luke D. Dermody were duly elected as members of the borough council full term, and Chad Roman was duly elected as a member of the borough council 2-year unexpired term. So we all get to do it again.
Congratulations.
Are you re-elected to your same seat?
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
Where was it? Oh, and now we have a letter from the State of New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection dated November 8, 2019, regarding lead and copper monitoring reduction to a minimum of 10 PBCU samples annually. Right. What that means is that our reporting has been actually deemed excellent. And so because of that, John Holden does not have to take as many samples or as frequently as he had been.
What had happened was that we have water problems in town here.
Really?
And because of that, the DEP put extra testing standards on us. So 20 houses would have to get checked twice a year, the same 20 houses, which would be 40 samples. So we have to pay for 40 samples per year. And it had to go on for 2 years because the normal had to be reached. And once they decided that our samples were all good, then they could back us up to the regular sampling, which is 10 samples a year.
Rather than 40. Just doing 30?
We were saving a lot of money.
It was 40.
Yeah, it was 30 or 40 each time, and a few times a year.
Yeah, that was it. So that saves us a lot of sampling payouts. You know.
And they actually said that the reporting was excellent. Yeah. So.
And we have to pay for the labs for the samples.
Well, that's
what we can save money on.
That's expensive stuff.
It's at least a few $1,000s in savings.
Easily. And it's less work for John, too, because he doesn't have to take the time to go to everybody's house to drop the thing off and things like that. So, yeah.
And he went to the same houses over and over, like mine. So
well,
it's constantly having to.
That's what it's supposed to be.
Right.
You're supposed to sample them all. And
So kudos to John Holden.
Really happy with these guys. You know, they're doing it. Done. So.
Yeah,
all right.
They did everything they promised. A couple years ago.
Great. Yeah. So.
We'll come to ordinances. First reading and introduction. Ordinance 19-07, an ordinance amending ordinance number 19-01. Which set the salary range and compensation of officials, physicians, and employees in the borough to add the additional hourly position of deputy tax collector.
I'll make that move.
Okay. Second?
I'll second that.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
So
okay,
this
public hearing.
Right.
Yeah,
this is the first reading.
This is the first reading, and the public hearing is to be held on December 9, 2019 at 7 p.m. at the Borough of Roosevelt, 33 North Rochdale Avenue, Roosevelt, New Jersey, 08555.
Come in.
All right, resolutions. Resolution 19-114, payment of bills.
I'll make a motion to pay the bills.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
Okay, 114 passes. Resolution 19-115, appointing Assistant Administrative Clerk Carrie Bruno. And she's helping with the tax.
Yeah, I'll move that.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
19-116, appointing Assistant Administrative Clerk Marianne Sabans, also doing our tax.
I'll move that also.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
Mayor, I'll move Resolution 19-117, authorizing a transfer of appropriations for 2019. And I'm just saying that this is what we do routinely as of November 1st, move some money around from unexpended lines to lines where we think we might need a little more money.
I'll second that.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
So here's 118 that we've added.
Okay, do I have a motion? Does someone want to move Resolution 19-118? Resolution expressing continuing support for the ongoing efforts of the Sustainable Jersey Creative Team.
So moved.
I'll second that.
Do you know what this is? So that this will enable us to be eligible for grants, right, Mike? From you can explain it.
I understand that we can get some credit from the council. But by getting these credits, we can get the bronze certification, and then we can perhaps be eligible for some grant money.
That's good.
Good.
I'm
sure it would have our support anyway.
To enhance the artistic environment of the community? That's this particular part of the... Okay.
They're in the right town.
They're in the right town for that, yeah.
Okay, roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
Come to committee chairs. Are you tired of going first, Steve?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay, Councilmember Bowen, Public Works.
Not a lot to report. Mostly miscellaneous, cleaning gutters, tree fell on the fence over at the sewer plant, I think. I think we were going to paint the speed humps, but it got rained out, so that's up and coming.
You got most of it, so.
Yeah.
No, you didn't do far away.
You got most of the time.
That's about it.
And also, I guess I should say, we have our sign is up at the Roosevelt Pocket Park. Greg put up our sign this week, so now people realize that it's actually a nice, tiny little park, but there's benches there and a trash can, and Environmental Commission, not now, but most of the year, has a nice garden there, butterfly garden.
And we're working on by getting a light pole,
yeah,
because that'll illuminate the park at night.
Exactly.
And Joe Markey was just here and said he would check in on that.
Yeah, but I think we already—it's a go.
Yeah,
but
it is.
I guess he wasn't aware of it.
Okay. They were reluctant to do it, but they decided they would.
Yeah, well, honestly, they tend to. If it's a safety concern, then they'll give in, which is what they determined it to be. So
they've been very good.
Councilmember Ethicoff, administration.
Well, there's not much to say except we're administrating. and doing a hell of a job, as you just mentioned.
Yeah.
And we have two new part-time employees to help out with administration.
Councilmember Dermody isn't here. Thanks. Councilmember Hamilton, Finance.
We had a Finance Committee report, and I have a copy in the council packet for council members, which is a review of the First Aid Squad rationale, their request for the municipal donation. And we discussed what was basically their letter dated November 7. I guess it was in the form of an email, and it was a request for funding.
It was a hard copy, actually.
It was? Okay. And it was a request for funds, and they stipulated what they wanted to spend the money on, and we reviewed it. And we still have a lot of questions and a lot of concerns about how the money would be used. And so we're still requesting that they meet with us to discuss that. Essentially, it's all outlined in the packet. We also reviewed the water sewer utility budget to date and looked at some of the numbers from 2018 compared with the numbers to date in 2019. And I have to say that things look good. We're operating at a surplus right now. We don't know if it'll continue.
Water sewer?
Yeah.
And water sewer, we're doing pretty good comparatively compared to the year before.
It's a decent one, too.
We have about $100,000 remaining in surplus with about 2 months left to spend.
Wow.
But you never know what's going to happen. So I'm not... We're not... There's all kinds of things that can go wrong, and any little thing can affect that budget. So, but it appears that we're managing things fairly well with both of the utilities. We're doing better than we were the year before. We're getting more done, and this is before income comes online from T-Mobile, which we're expecting about $40,000 of revenue from that.
If it ever,
that'll just add
a long time.
Yeah, and also possibly a settlement from the swim club too, which would also be revenue in that fund. So right now we're in a good position with that, but again, just. Is this real wood? Good enough. Hold on, we don't know, but
so
things look
good
for that. We reviewed all our DOT projects, and we have four of them. So things are a little confusing. We have a 2017 project for Homestead and Cedar. We just about completed everything for that, including awarding a contract to Earl Asphalt, who was the only bidder. So we're set to go on that project, which involves road construction and also, I guess, also sewer lines and water lines. A water line was an addendum to that, I think, for Homestead.
Water line was part of it. The sewer line was the addendum, I believe.
Right. Yeah, the sewer was the addendum. That's right. But we're good to go with that. There was a 2018 DOT grant and project for NERCO and ELM. We're waiting for bid specs from a borough engineer on that. So we're moving along with it, but we have to get the bid specs first, then we have to go out to bid, and then we can move ahead with that project.
I think we have until February to award. It's either February or May. Right? You're keeping track of that too?
8/21/20.
I do. I have it hanging up on the board.
We have an extension, 8/21/20.
Okay, so it's August.
Well, that's the one we just did.
That's
yes.
the one we just got the extension.
Oh, perfect.
For.
So it was February.
Yeah, but
it was February. Now it's August.
It was February.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're okay with that. That's moving along. We have a 2019 grant for Farm Lane, and that was awarded. We have until March 25th of 21 to do that.
The farm and school.
I just think it's just farm.
That's just farm. And we applied for a school lane DOT grant. We haven't heard anything on that yet. But all in all, it's close to $1 million in grant money that we've gotten over these three projects, which is a lot. So every year we've been getting grant. We've been applying aggressively and getting grants. And so now we just have to move ahead with them. It's a little confusing, like I said, because I don't think we've ever had three or four road projects going at one time.
But, and we owe some thanks.
Never had a gas tax.
Yeah, right. So
that's your gas tax money right there. That's what it is. That's where it goes.
Yeah.
A large part of it.
So we just need to keep our eyes on the ball with these projects and make sure that we continue to check off on our checklist everything that needs to be done. So we discussed that during the meeting, and we're moving along with that, which is great.
And that's that good. Carmela Roberts is really on top of it all the time.
Yeah, she is on top of it, and there's a lot of bid specs. There's a lot of work that's being done by her for this, and yeah. I think some of that was on the bills list too. But we're moving along. And we discussed also the possibility, if we can continue to build a surplus in the water sewer accounts, continuing to put money away in those accounts for future work that we might need so that we can actually move into the plus side of things rather than borrowing money for everything. Okay. So things are looking good right now, but keep our fingers crossed and see what happens.
Michael, do you want to discuss the first aid squad, their needs versus they're talking about purchasing a lot of equipment and even a new truck, a new ambulance. And what Michael brought up, a very interesting point. In view of the fact that Monmouth County is going to do a county-wide kind of thing, what effect will that have on our... And we'll be stuck, we may be stuck with a bunch of white elephants. You know, and we don't encourage that.
Yeah, we essentially we had a lot of questions and concerns.
Yeah, but he was not here, so.
Yeah, and the squad's a member of the squad or the squad's not.
But he
not
also
here.
Said he's not going to meet with us anymore. He gave us all the information he's going to give us.
Right, we don't know what would happen to if we invested in equipment now. We don't know what would happen when the county comes online in the next couple of years. We're what would happen to that equipment? Would it become their equipment? Would we retain it? I don't know how that would work. So
and that's expensive stuff, so we don't want to...
Well, we're also going to explore now the possibility of joining another first aid squad or possibly having to contract out part of the time, because depending on when the county puts in the countywide, we may need just the way we agreed, you know, for Millstone to come here just to provide some basic life saving until an ambulance can get here. We also need to look, because, you know, as we know that the Roosevelt First Aid Squad just isn't able to respond to over half the calls. So we're looking into what other options we have to make sure that everyone here is covered 24/7.
So we outlined a bunch of our concerns that we had, and we are requesting to meet with the squad to get more information from them, and hopefully we can work with them and really try to improve the services for our residents. And so moving ahead, we need to meet with them, and we need to continue to figure out how we're going to do this, you know.
I also thought of something interesting. If we were to ask Robert Wood Johnson to put an ambulance here, and we would the ride is $150 supposedly. I don't know. I think it's less. I have to speak to Bob. $1,500. If we usually people will have insurance, so you'll pay at least if we were to pay that, the borough would pay the out of the $20,000, we would pay the copay for these people.
Yeah, that's
we'd still be ahead of the game.
We talked about that, yeah.
Because we don't get that many calls. It's simple as that.
Well, that was their price that they had given.
I'm sorry?
That was their price that they had given, the $1,500. I believe, I forget.
Do we know that for a fact?
We don't have any other information for how they come up with these numbers.
Right.
Who's that?
Our first aid squad, the Roosevelt Public.
They said the 1500, but you know, we have to verify.
Well, I can find out for you because, as I said, he got a ride from Prineville Road, not Prineville.
Millstone.
Are you talking about down in Apple Garth?
Apple Garth Road. he got a ride from the doctor on Applegoss Road to the hospital, and he had to pay the copay. That's it.
And yeah, we're gonna look into everything, you know, so we can.
How far away is Allentown from here?
Huh?
It's 9 miles.
Yeah,
but how long does it take?
About 20 minutes.
Through the woods. If there's no, through 20 minutes, if it's not.
This is, by the way, this was a little tongue in cheek, is what I suggested.
Yeah,
but it's you never know. Yeah.
It's quick if there's no traffic, real quick. There's like one stop sign practically.
Well, they're doing an RFP for them in Upper Freehold separately and together for 12 and 24. They're doing like four different RFPs. And in the meantime, they're going to have per diems work at Allentown First Aid to cover one or both of the towns, depending on how many people they need.
Upper Freehold and Allentown? Or
I talked to them. Remember I told you I would mention to them your situation. I know that your First Aid has talked to the Allentown First Aid. Because Allentown First Aid reported that back to us about maybe, you know, they, I don't know what their discussions were. Mm-hmm. But I said to them, it only makes sense. You put the whole panhandle of Monmouth County together,
right.
Millstone, Roosevelt, Allentown, and Upper Freehold, then you actually really do have a regional service.
Mm-hmm.
Their Allentown's issue is that then the likely service provider would be Millstone.
Mm-hmm.
And Millstone is too far away. It's not that's not an acceptable level of service for them.
For Allentown.
That it would take and I don't know where all these places are exactly located. You guys live
we
here.
We know.
They would shoot down.
They told me it would take 20 minutes probably for them to get there, and that wasn't acceptable for them.
5:24, right?
So you know that's what I just said to them. And so they basically are a wide open field at this point. They're going to cover themselves because they can do that with the volunteers they have at the moment. And pay per diem to have crews on, and until they get the RFP results and figure out what they're doing.
RFPs are looking for like Robert Wood Johnson or somebody
right.
like that to
right.
come in.
12 hours or 24 hours for one or both towns.
Yeah. Mike told me at the meeting, interestingly enough, that Monarch used to have an ambulance
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Well,
Monarch had half. Yeah. Most of the county was under their
yeah.
control, but. They ran into the same problem that everyone else has trying to do this. It's a terrible business. You don't know when the people are going to call. You don't know how long it's going to take. And you don't know how much money you're going to get from them. Well, what business do you start under those three conditions? And so it's not really a private market solution. Everyone's running the same problem. Monarch tried to take over the whole market and basically tried to create an economy of scale for themselves where they saw this market problem coming, and they tried to take it over, and they failed because they expanded too fast. They couldn't cover everybody. They're getting killed. On the money, and now these private hospitals' scheme is to come in and undercut the volunteers. Then when you have no volunteers, like Red Bank situation, so they came to Red Bank, gave them a great price the first 3 years, did the same thing in Allentown, gave them a great price for the first year, and now when they realize that the call volume isn't there, the insureds aren't there, whatever it is, the price goes up, and now you have no volunteers, so the market is really just that. And so it's really the private market eating the government service, and the government service not being able to sustain itself for 24 hours a day without putting a substantial amount of money into it, and it's really difficult. It's a very difficult public policy problem to solve. But I want to give you the update. I mentioned you guys to Allentown, and they said, well, the panhandle idea, they'd be coming from too far away, but the reverse, if they're willing to accept us coming from farther away, then we can base it out of ours, and we might be on board with that. For them, it was really just about service time. Because also, at the end of the day, Allentown has one big option that no one else around here has, which is to call Robbinsville.
Yeah.
And so they're really, you know, I mean, look, they're government officials. They're looking out for their own people. They're going to go through this process, and if it all doesn't work out and the per diems are too much, they're just going to call Robbinsville as the service provider and pay them. Like,
and that's
you guys
a different
pay Millstone Fire.
Yeah, that's a different county.
They're allowed to do that.
Mercer, I think, or
they just have to get the approval of DCA. I already did it for them for when they had a fire issue. They had Hamilton Number 9 covering the fire services from Cross County, and they were okay with that.
Cross County.
Well, Applegarth has got ambulances parked over there at their building number 2, I think it is, and they're about 8 minutes.
What's that, Millstone?
Monroe.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility as well for you guys.
Yeah.
If they already, because a lot of the, like, Monroe has a paid service, right?
And
you can't imagine Monroe doesn't have a paid service as retirement villages.
Yeah.
No, they do.
But
I just think that
Millstone and Applegarth are connected.
Right, so then maybe that's your out at the end of the day.
Well, the fire is. I'm not sure about first aid. Millstone and Monroe are connected for fire.
Millstone fire is first aid.
Millstone is, but Monroe, I think fire and first aid are separate.
It's something we can look into.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention that to you. That's like your last resort here is to look across county lines or look to a different town to just basically buy the service. If we can't cover or buy half or to buy 12 hours of coverage from them, you know, they'll cover you 12 hours during the day, the volunteers will cover the night.
Yeah.
But whatever, you know, those are basically the options that I've already gone through this whole hand wringing in Allentown, and that's basically the solution they came up to. You pay people to sit over there, pay people to private people to sit around somewhere that's close enough by that you can accept, pay another town service to come cover you, whether that's Allentown would be volunteers. But like per diems, or whether you could call Monroe. Yeah, I mean, they have paid service.
I wonder about East Windsor. Twin Rivers is close.
They have an ambulance service?
They do.
Yeah.
I don't think Twin Rivers is interested.
Is what?
I don't think they're interested.
No.
But the Twin Rivers group, that's...
Yeah, because they're so
Twin
close.
Twin Rivers is what?
5 miles. East Windsor.
Oh, it's another town service.
Yeah.
So I mean, one of the things you might be able to do over the next few weeks is maybe call the mayors of these towns and ask, or the heads of their organizations, and ask them if they'd be willing to.
Yeah.
You know, that's how they called Mayor Fried in Robbinsville down in Allentown. The mayor called the mayor, and the mayor said, "If you run out of options, let us know. We're not going to let people die of heart attacks right next door.
Well,
just give us a call."
I don't. I'm not sure that the mayor would be. Would be so
I can try. Well, I've tried before.
You know, maybe not. Monroe, and that's a professional paid service, so they're looking for revenue. You know, any revenue to justify your existence is, you know, that's the nature
the thing
of
about
crime
Monroe,
finding a career.
Yeah,
there
services.
I think they Monroe hard bills, but then we could perhaps use our $20,000 to cover, you know, what people's insurance doesn't.
Right.
Oh, you can. It's a shared service, so you can work on any arrangement you want. You give them money in return for only soft billing your residents.
Right.
You're basically telling them what the general volume is going to be absent a catastrophe. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so that's what's going on in the other towns. Allentown's having the exact same problem, that's the three options that we've really worked out. Test the private market, plug the volunteers, pay them in the meantime. Until we figure that out, and then last resort, call another town and just buy the service. They may respond to the RFP. I know Robbinsville is going to respond to Allentown's RFP and compete with the private companies on price and terms. So that's what Mayor Fried promised.
We've not approached Monroe. I think we should.
Yeah, those are actually the options exactly that we've talked about, three options.
Great. So. Yeah, I mean, that's where we're at.
I would even try East Windsor, see what they say.
Yeah, I mean, it couldn't hurt. Yeah. Twin
take
Rivers
a,
is
take
close.
Take a ride over to their firehouse. That's where they keep them. It's only about that's a close one.
It's close, really close.
Hmm? By the school there, the firehouse.
No, it's across, like kind of diagonally across and down a little from that deli.
You know,
it was Buster, now it's Sam's.
Make a right turn. Yeah,
it's right there. It's quick.
It's near the school.
Yeah, it's a block away from.
It's really close to us.
I've stopped in there a couple of times. There's nobody there.
Don't say that.
Yell fire, it'll show up.
Okay,
Council Member Trammell, utilities?
We talked about the, we have, the guys are doing quite a job of not sending out to large maintenance companies to fix motors and things like that. They're doing it themselves, and it's working. Even with the trickling filter not spinning, they put it up on a couple of blocks and played around with
manually
it.
Manually turn it?
Well, that's how they started sometimes. But all these things have been working since.
All day long.
They're just attacking these things one at a time for larger things like the crumbling of the legs of the sodium hypochlorite tanks. Anna was nice enough to get the insurance to cover half of it. And the other half, you know, we have to pay. So there are some things that the guys can't do themselves. But for the most part, they're very serious about taking care of our equipment, and
they're really
proud
lucky.
Of their stuff, and they're doing it, you know. So that is, in the long run, saving us money. I mean, right there, John's, you know, figured out the lead and copper sample thing, so it's a quarter as much. If it's $1,000 per 10 samples, he just saved us $3,000, you know, on a yearly basis. So. But they're looking at stuff. They're proactive about stuff like this. You know,
they're real professionals.
They're real professionals. Whatever we can do to make their lives.
Rather than have our own operator with them.
Yeah.
That's a brilliant idea.
But it makes a real difference, and they're the Allentown guys. You know that, right?
Holden and Lyons.
Oh, I introduced you to them.
I knew them before. As a matter of fact, Mike and I sampled their water a year before, you know.
Yeah.
Stuff like
they're good. They're very professional guys. They're going to do a good job for you, and you know, they service a lot of towns.
So that's my thing. I still have to talk to Mike Lyons about the roots and the sewer pipes and Route X and whether it's a good thing for the whole town to just dump it in there or what, you know. So.
Let the goats loose. They can eat the roots in there.
Well, they got to get into the piping first.
You lower them down.
Right.
Baby tiny goats. We need tiny goats.
Tiny goats. Pygmy goats.
Pygmy goats. Oh,
yeah. Pygmy goats. Put a little spotlight on their head.
Right. That headlamp.
Yeah.
Except these two are huge.
They can
I'll
be the foreman.
I'll feel the phone calls from Peter when they arrive.
Councilmember Roman, Environmental Health and Safety.
We've already talked about the first aid squad, pretty much. Everybody has their opinion on that. And then the goat rampage that's currently taking place now.
goats and hunters.
Yeah.
And actually, this is...
Seems like one could solve the other, though, no?
Really?
Oh, I just heard a moment ago that... I just heard a moment ago about an albino deer.
I see the black squirrels, but I haven't seen the
albino deer. Oh, I saw last night.
I have one
it's
in
like
my
the
backyard.
Highlight of my month.
The black squirrel.
Late last night, I saw him.
The
albino deer, and I literally... I mean, we live in the country, we're used to it, and I just went, oh, there it is. And for a second, because I hadn't seen the goats yet.
Where's the picture?
So for a second, I thought that maybe it was the goat, because he was small for a deer, and he walked funny. He didn't walk like a deer. He didn't have the same gait.
But he's an albino.
So, yeah, I guess he has other health problems. So I just, like, almost crashed my car near Diana Moore. It was crossing right over by Diana Moore's house. And I just went, oh, my. So I turned my car onto the lawn and put my brights on. And they didn't run or anything. And I was very impressed that the herd hasn't rejected it.
Oh,
but
it
has. They
herd.
Kind of keep it. Yeah, they kind
well, you
of keep
know
it
why,
clustered,
right?
Like, in close.
Safety in numbers?
Well, no.
Yeah.
Shoot him, not us. Right.
He doesn't blend in.
Right.
So that's
right.
The target. The rest
right.
of them are
yeah, but the irony in it is, aren't most deer in the state killed by cars? I mean, the albino deer I can see from half a mile away. So is he going to, you know, all deer's going to be white soon?
Yeah, explain that to the state.
Yeah. It's like, so you ever heard of the moth, right? The gypsy moth, the London gypsy moth?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So during the, so it was a white moth.
We have them here.
Yeah, during it was a white moth until the Industrial Revolution when there was soot everywhere, and the moth slowly, it's like a
really?
Story in Darwinism, and the moth now, the British gypsy moth, is now brown-gray, because the birds would pick the white ones right off the soot-covered buildings. And so it's interesting. So if you have bright white deer, I don't think you're going to get hit by cars that much.
I'm used to it.
There's no bears anymore. We shoot them, so I don't know what they're hiding from, really.
So let's,
it's
actually, you know, paint the deer white. We can put a motion for that.
I mean, I'm so used to, I mean, it's Roosevelt. I've seen foxes and raccoons and bears and snakes and deer.
Sure.
Seeing that white deer, I just like.
It's like the future.
And the black squirrels now, too. I have one, like, resident in my backyard.
Yeah,
I think we have two or
yet.
Three black squirrels.
They came from
they're
Princeton.
Charcoal black.
Yeah, they came from Princeton.
Yeah, the Princetons always have black squirrels. Yeah.
Don't tell Princeton. They hate them.
they probably dropped them off here.
You know, somebody asked them about them, and they said, we'll give them as many as we can catch.
I bet. Okay, does anyone have any old business they'd like to discuss?
Wait, report to borough officials.
Mike, do you have anything else? I'm sorry. I looked at that a minute ago, and I went right past it.
Okay, a few things. The various capacities. This history thing. We had a good visit a couple weeks ago from a group from William Patterson College, and their museum there was called, which is named for Ben Shaw.
Good.
So there's big interest there. And the person with this... her name is Kristen Evangelista, and now explain the whole financial problem of the school, and she's going to see what she can do through her contacts with the various museum people in the state to see if we can get, recognizing that the school is not only a school, but it's also an art museum.
Yeah.
Right.
Now we have to get some funding, the funding we're not getting as a school, we may be able to get some of that funding from the state as an art museum. So So she's very still looking into that. So
great.
Maybe there'll be something coming up.
Good.
The Environmental Commission, as mentioned, we seem to be on our way to getting the bronze certification. In fact, Jeff Belong thinks that we have the 150, just adding it up, she thinks we have
points.
If they approve them, we have 150 points, which means for the bronze certification, we need 300 for the silver, which we're nowhere near that. But this will be able to get the bronze certification, which again may qualify us for some grants.
Right.
We have some projects. They basically have some projects. If you have a project, then they'll consider your project. They get funds from PSE&G that they will then fund. Okay.
Michael?
Sorry.
If you get the bronze,
yeah,
and you need 300 for, what do you call it, is it 150 that you already have count?
No, it's every...
You have to start all over again.
You start over, yeah, it's a cycle. It's in each cycle you have to get that.
Yeah.
If we do the same things over, we seem to be able to get
yearly credit. Cycle.
If we continue doing things, we get credit for it again.
Okay.
So
like 2 years, three-year cycle or something.
Okay.
So anyway, and the other thing, I'm also, I just became a member of the school board. So one thing that came up, which may be interesting, the school board president and the school administrator had a meeting with the commissioner and the people from the commissioner's staff.
New Jersey commissioner?
Yeah, New Jersey commissioner of education. And they were both pleased to say that there seems to be great support for keeping the school. People realize this, and they understand the special. They're passing the deed around, and they understand the special situation.
I think they made a big impression on Dancer and Thompson when they came to the Ben Johnson, which I was. I should say this on the record. I was very surprised and pleased that they came.
Yeah, that's right.
And because I had invited them and didn't really expect them to come, and they did. And then I think they were. Well, Ron Dancer, he knows Roosevelt well. And they were very receptive to doing whatever they could to save the school.
I texted him and thanked him for coming, and he expressed on a text back to me how impressed he is with Mary Cohen, our principal.
Yeah.
So, and he's doing what he can do.
Yeah.
You know, but you explained to me about this is a lame duck session now, that they might not be able to do anything.
It's probably hard to get it done. But I was saying that there's not enough sessions to get... to get bills that have never stopped, get new bills introduced and actually get them enacted. They really, really want to do it. It's an emergency. They could do it.
Pull the governor into the action.
Everybody really says now that this qualifies as a state emergency.
To some people,
I think, and also various residents have been, I know a few residents have written to the governor directly.
Yeah, sure. That's right.
And
everything we can do about it.
Michael, they just had a meeting in West Windsor. And what's his name? The Senate President.
Sweeney
spoke, and they were discussing. You know, that's where the New Jersey Education Department is.
Yeah, well, Sweeney just came out with two things. One of which he's saying was put in legislation that would allow, would eliminate the caps on school district, which would let the school board raise more taxes, but it's not necessarily the solution we're looking for.
Really?
The taxes would keep going up, so that's not exactly.
That's
sort of
not going to help us much.
Benefit there, right? Mm-hmm. But then the other thing that Sweeney is also pushing is countywide school districts, which again, you know, if they recognize the importance of the school, maybe you know, the school could be allowed to survive in a countywide school district.
We'll see what happens.
But you know, there are all sorts of things going on. At this point.
I have a lot of faith. I don't think we're going to lose it. I really don't.
Well, sorry.
I have a lot of faith. I don't think we're going to lose this.
Well, I think at this point, that's why I said this meeting was very encouraging.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, the other thing, one of the people at the meeting had mentioned, which nobody had mentioned it before, was sort of a hybrid of a charter school with a regular public school. The school could be both.
Yeah.
That for the kids...
Arts.
Well, no, wait a second. Yeah. For the kids who are in Roosevelt, it would function administratively as a normal public school. But that it could then be a charter school simultaneously. They could bring kids in from the outside and get money from their school districts.
Yeah.
So if the Department of Education thinks this can be done, help us do it. Then that's another.
Ken is head of the board here, right? Ken McComb.
Ken McComb, yeah.
But I think he had a problem with that, or
no.
At the meeting last year, it seemed like it was
he's very supportive of this.
Okay, and Rick Pressler, I believe. is a charter school maven for the state?
Yeah.
He's an official of the state, for the state organization. Ken was very happy with the results.
There was a mention, somebody, I don't know, it might have been Peggy, that we have this exhibit. We don't have it, but the Mormon has got the exhibit going. Could we invite, like, heads of state from around the state, including Governor Murphy, to a tea over there or something? And like,
they certainly invite people.
Yeah.
They're till May, so we're...
Yeah.
They did invite people.
Well, if we could, you know, and somehow explain the school situation to them, you know, Dancer Thompson, Cory Booker, Governor Murphy, Sweeney, everybody.
Have a spread.
Get a spread. Get some bagels and lox here. I don't know.
Give them wine.
Something else that I asked to be distributed to the council and to the planning board. Did you read about the article about the new development that's been approved in Millstone?
Yeah.
240 units coming right off.
Yeah, really.
Opposite the old Blues Getty.
Kathleen, didn't you say that it's a long way off?
It's just a conceptual plan. It's not, nothing's been brought to the planning board.
No,
but
it was approved by the state for their fair share.
In their COA plan.
But it's not.
It was moving along as a settlement.
I think Kathleen said don't worry yet. Not don't worry, but it's not going to happen yet.
You're aware, that's all.
Oh, no, hey, we're aware.
We should be able to make sure that there's no negative impact on Roosevelt, but also showing that there's a market for that sort of housing in this area.
But we were already talking about fighting it.
Then I was thinking with Luke, I'm waiting for you to report that the committee did nothing in particular and did it very well.
Mike, I heard someone was in town filming. I heard someone was in town filming.
That was Eric.
Eric
Boulay.
Oh,
And the New Jersey Network camera crew producer. They were across from the Sean house looking at an original house. It's kind of original there. It's got the full-length windows.
Yeah, I think it was Evan's house.
Yeah, they were going to go up to the graveyard. And I said, it's not a graveyard, it's a cemetery.
Yes, it is.
So you mean like another documentary?
I don't know. Eric now has... through this whole
Ben Johnson.
Right, he's got an editing set up now, which is nice because then we could do things in town like, you know...
Documentaries on the goats.
Documentaries on the goats, political
and
commercials.
And
we could
albino deer.
So another question I thought about the deer, that if we could get funded with the herder of the deer, then we could save some money on the lawn.
Okay, all right. I'm usually pretty calm when I'm shocked, but I couldn't grab my phone. I just was so shocked at seeing it and staring at it.
Greg DeFoe would have to get a staff to walk along with it.
But he needed a staff of people working under him.
Not the other kind of staff.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, folks, you're lowering the level.
Okay, old business?
I'm a borough official, right?
Yes, you are. Mm-hmm. Like, tell something.
So, I just wanted a point of order for maybe for next meeting.
Uh-huh.
So, Mr. Roman was elected to an unexpired seat. And so the statute indicates that the person who's elected to an uninspired seat takes the seat upon the certification of the election.
Yeah.
And you acknowledge the certification of the election tonight. So Mr. Roman should really be sworn into the unexpired term at the next meeting.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
That was what I wanted to bring up.
They wouldn't swear me in when I was filling that seat.
Full terms take at the beginning of the year, but the unexpired term is upon certification of the election. So that's why I asked you to take your own seat.
Because
otherwise we've got to kick somebody out of here like now.
Yeah.
So, but we're all good. You can just do it at the next meeting. But
we could do it right now. You can go get the oath if you want.
Can do that. I don't know if you wanted to have his family here or anything. Or if you wanted, you could do it right now. We could do the oath, and you could do a ceremonial swearing in on New Year's Day with everyone else.
Yeah,
that's what most places do.
We'll do it quick now.
So your family can come on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, because
legally, he technically should be sworn in upon certification.
You're right.
I'm
going to
get the
hunch
chart.
He works for the government. We don't
want to
do anything.
Yeah, well, I'm here for a reason.
We don't want him to change his mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Right now.
ask you the original question because you want someone else to see than they have to. We did it last year.
Richard, yeah, we did. 10 minutes to change your mind.
Richard,
aren't you the one that has to take the oath?
Well, okay, so when did you new business for? We have one item under new business, the use of the Borough Hall. It looks to me like they changed the Tai Chi day. I think it used to be Tuesday morning and Thursday night, but for 2020 it'll be every Wednesday morning from 9 to 10:30 and every Thursday night from 6 to 7:30.
So they no longer need it on Tuesday mornings?
I guess not. I think June changed it.
Do you need a motion for that?
Yeah, I guess, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah, then we just need it all in favor.
Okay,
so do I have a motion to approve?
I'll make the motion.
Second? We have a quorum here? Yeah. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
You second it?
I did.
John. Where's Jeff?
He's helping prepare the oath.
Well, he's been here with you 20 years now.
He's got
it. Public comment on any item. Nancy or Mike? No? Okay, well, I'm sorry. So open public comment at 8:05, and I close public comment at 8:05. And we will administer the oath of office to Councilman Vroman when everyone returns. Oh, I just read it. It was
right here.
13th, November 13th.
Okay. So do I make it from the certification date or today's date?
Well, I mean, no, today's date's fine. You mean the day of the
term
sermon?
Of his office, no.
Yeah, this is the next meeting following the certification. So, yeah, term of office should be from
11/25/19.
It's 2 years, so it's
12/31/21. Okay, Mr. Roman, would you like to come up here?
Sure.
Oh, okay. Oh, let's see what
you're saying. Okay, I.
I, Chad Vroman.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
And to the governments established in the United States.
And to the governments established within the United States.
And in this state.
And in this state.
Under the authority of the people.
Under the authority of the people.
And that I will faithfully.
And that I will faithfully.
Impartially.
Impartially.
And justly perform.
And justly perform
all the duties of the office of Roosevelt Borough Council.
Roosevelt Borough Council.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
Congratulations.
Does it feel any different?
Kathleen, when you pass the resolution,
the chair just
feels more comfortable right. The next 2 years.
Mike,
you got tighter, right?
Right?
We got tighter.
Lou seconded.
Okay. I understand you guys did Tai Chi.
Esikoff, motion, Roman second, 5-0, aye to nay.
We approved Tai Chi. We didn't.
No,
we do extension by Mr. Trammell.
All right.
Well, we just said aye. It was 6-0.
Five.
And we opened and closed public comment.
You did that?
Yes.
Yeah. At what time?
8:05.
And there was none?
None.
Do we need a closed?
Counselor, do we need a closed session?
Okay.
Have your paper ready?
I do. So.
We will not be taking action after executive session, or during, for that matter.
Okay, so I first need a motion to Resolution 19-119, providing for a private executive meeting that excludes the public.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second that.
Okay. Whereas the Open Public Meetings Act, enacted October 21st, 1975, permits a public body to exclude the public from meetings or portions thereof wherein matters are to be discussed, which are exempted from the requirements of the Act. And whereas the said Act requires that prior to the holding of a meeting or portions thereof from which the public shall be excluded, the public body should adopt a resolution at a public meeting providing for the holding of a private meeting. And whereas the Borough Council of the Borough of Roosevelt has determined that a meeting should be held from which the public should be excluded in order to discuss a subject which is exempted under the said Act. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Borough Council as follows. That the next portion of this meeting to be held in private session. That the general nature of the matter to be discussed relates to the matter Ellen Turk versus Roosevelt Oprah litigation update, Roosevelt versus Hilltop Swim Club litigation update. That no official action will be taken at the meeting, but minutes shall be kept and shall be available to the public after official action on the subject matter has been taken. It is anticipated the discussion conducted in closed session can be disclosed to the public after no further action is required in this matter. I need a roll call. Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Broman?
Yes.
Okay.
When are you leaving, Nancy?
Where are you going?
Just pull.
Down to Robert.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Now we're good.
Okay.
Somewhere out of
We have a meeting on December 9th, and then that will be our only meeting for December. We're going to skip a second meeting again this year. And do whatever we would normally do at the end of the year at the reorg in January, second part of the reorg. Okay, so we have one meeting this month in December.
Just
no, I'm going to have to send a cancellation. No meeting, right. 12/23, I believe it's 12/23/19.
Too close to Christmas.
But don't we have something to do?
It was George and Anna took care of everything last year, okay. And they'll do it again this year.
Close out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we told them.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all I have to say.
Okay, so a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
You got it.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned at 8:00.
Okay, we are 8:00. Out at 8:55.